Well, I've always felt that Baroque music and jazz music share a sort of affinity, especially when it's Johann Sebastian Bach. In this case, we heard the first movement from the Suite No. 1 for flute and jazz piano. It's called Baroque and Blue. Music of Claude Bolling at the piano there with flutist Jean-Pierre Rampal. And before that, Lisa Moore at the piano with the Metamorphosis 5 by Philip Glass. And we began with the King's Singers and a song of Gabriel Fauré, that was Lydia. Good afternoon, I'm Brad Cresswell. It's Afternoon Classics here on FM 91. Now, the thing that those three have in common, at least for the purposes of this hour, is that they may have appeared on the playlist of a legendary announcer here on WGTE, and that is Bill Engelke. Many of you will remember Bill Engelke. He passed away a few weeks ago, and we have decided to hold a little tribute for him this afternoon, play some of the music that he enjoyed, and also talk with a couple of folks who knew him very well. I'm pleased to welcome into the studio Dr. Mary Natvig from Bowling Green State University. And Mary, you are Bill's former wife, his caretaker as well. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Why don't you give your microphone a little test there?
There we go. Is this how we test a microphone?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And also Roger Grivey is here with us today. Roger was with Bill on that very first day back in 1976 when you signed on for the first time. So welcome. I want to thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks, Brad. Nice to be here.
We're going to play some music that Bill perhaps played himself on the radio. We cast a net and asked a few folks to give us an idea of his musical tastes. And I'm wondering if, before we get into that, if, Roger, you want to talk a little bit about Bill and his presence here on FM 91 on WGTE, and maybe talk a little bit about the music that he liked to play.
Sure. He had eclectic tastes in music, but they were grounded in a true love of classical music. He grew up with it. Both his parents were church musicians. In his home were dozens of classical recordings, and he often spoke about that, the fact yeah. that he just loved it so much. So as a result, he had very few biases against one sort of music or another, and it was perfect for his position as the main announcer, the morning announcer of any radio station is a very popular position, and not against you, Brett, or anything.
Not to worry.
He spoke to a lot of people a lot of ways through a lot of music, and it was great to hear. I was a fan and listener myself when I finally woke up each morning after being on the night before.
Yeah, well, I had to go back and listen to some tapes of Bill in preparation for this, and in doing so, I was really taken with kind of the warmth and the naturalness of the way that he spoke. He had a very open personality, which really came through on the air. And I'm assuming that that was just a part of who he was.
Absolutely. Mary? Absolutely. And I'm getting a lot of letters and condolence cards from people who talk about his gentle demeanor mm-hmm. and how he was so interesting and able to talk to people in a really genuine way. And I think that was definitely Bill. What you heard on the air was what you got in person.
Yeah. Well, we want to say that we did dedicate a plaque right before we came on air.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
We have dedicated the air studio here as a tribute to Bill Engelke, and we have a nice little plaque there. He was mm-hmm. here from 76 until 2003 and definitely left his mark in many ways. And at least we have that plaque there to, you know, announce to folks that that his mark lives on,
yeah.
his voice lives
on. Thank you.
Let's listen to some more King Singers. We heard a little King Singers at the beginning. From what I understand, he was a big fan of the King Singers.
Huge.
And you told me, Mary, about a recording that he uncovered, which was right. hard to find. He couldn't. It's not something that was in print at the time.
Right. Yeah, a long time ago.
And it's, I'm not quite sure what this is. It's called Some Enchanted Wavelength. Now, was this something that was commissioned by the BBC when they changed over their wavelengths
yes.
in the 70s?
They reorganized things, and they hired the King Singers to explain it.
Yeah.
Right. It was the notification that was published in the newspaper, and the King Singers set it to an Anglican psalm tone.
Wow.
And
that would never happen nowadays.
Probably
sort of
not,
no.
And Bill heard it. I think friends of his had been to England and brought it back to him and had a pirated copy. And Bill would play it for everyone who came to the house.
Yeah.
Sometimes over and over and over again.
Well, you really have to pay attention to the words to figure out what it is that they're mm-hmm. talking about. But mm-hmm. there was BBC, there was like Radio 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they were all switching frequencies, and it was a pretty big deal back in the day in the 1970s. So just for kicks, I have that recording. Let's listen to it. Some Enchanted Wavelength. These are the King Singers here on FM 91.
BBC Radio announces important changes. From the 23rd of November, 23rd of November.
That's the King Singers performing. Well, they could have been performing the phone book there, and it would have sounded just as lovely. We heard a piece called Some Enchanted Wavelength, which was in response to a wavelength change at the BBC radio. I still haven't quite figured it out yet, but a lot of information packed into that little two-minute piece. That is one of the pieces that was a favorite of Bill Engelke, who is the late announcer here at WGTE, passed away a couple of weeks ago. We're having a bit of a tribute for him this afternoon. I'm joined in the studio by Roger Grivey, his co-worker, and also by Mary Natvig, who is his former wife, also was his caretaker for some time. And Mary, I wonder if you could tell us sort of the story of when and how you came into Bill's life.
Well, Bill came into my life when I first came to Bowling Green in 1990, because I used to listen to him on the radio all the time. But it wasn't until February of 2001 that we actually met, and we met in the hallway at the College of Musical Arts at BGSU. And the publicity person at BG had been saying for some time, oh, I want you to meet this guy.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no, I mean, I was sort of dating someone else.
But did you know who the guy was, or was it
I
just
didn't
a,
know. She okay. just said, I want you to meet someone. And she'd been telling him, I want you to meet this woman I know at BGSU.
Right.
And he didn't, of course, he didn't know me. So by chance, she had gone to lunch with him because GTE was going to do some promoting of the new music festival, I think. And we bumped into each other in the hall, and Deb said, oh, Mary, I want you to meet Bill Engelke. And Bill, I want you to meet Mary. I've been wanting to get you two together. And we said hello. I went into her office a half an hour later, and I said, you know, he's really cute. Why don't you give me his number? And she said, well, he said the same thing about you.
Wow.
And we were married 6 months later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whirlwind romance.
At a wonderful wedding, I might add. Some of the best yeah. music I've ever heard at any wedding was yours
you.
And Bill's.
Well, yeah.
I didn't get married till I was 43, so I just said, people are going to sit here till I feel married. And it was more of a concert.
Can you tell us some of the music that was on the service? Do you remember?
I do remember. One was a movement of a Brahms clarinet sonata.
Really?
And one was members of the Toledo Symphony were performing a piece that was written by David Dyer in the style of a 16th century piece.
Huh.
And
Maria
Sampin, right?
Yes.
Played a Bach preludium.
Mm. Yeah.
Lots of hymns.
It's stuff that you would never hear at anybody else's wedding.
And when we were singing hymns together, there were so many musicians in the audience, it was like a choral performance. It was wonderful.
Well, that's also a story, because the night before, we also had three Lutheran ministers marry us, because we'd both grown up Lutheran and had lots of friends.
Yeah.
But one of
did
the...
they like trade off the service? One,
yeah,
one after
yeah,
the other?
They did. They each had their things
different
to
parts,
do.
Yeah.
But during the rehearsal the night before, I almost said dress rehearsal, but no. During the rehearsal the night before, one of the ministers said, you know, the family better practice these hymns, because we had the hymns, the music in the program, but he said, because people won't sing. And I said, oh, no. I said, we will sing. And it did sound like the St. Olaf Choir.
Oh.
And Bill's father had we also had that in common. My dad had sung in the St. Olaf Choir, and Bill's father was the accompanist for the St. Olaf Choir. So we had a lot of that.
Mm. You had a pedigree.
Lutheran choral stuff in our background.
Yeah. Roger, I want to go back to 1976 and play a little bit of that very first broadcast. I mean, it must have been sort of pins and needles for everybody coming on for the very first time. And you can hear it a little bit in the... with the still kind of, you know, the dust is still kind of settling a little bit.
The studio was just freshly built, and we didn't get on the air in time, and there's a whole bunch of things that morning that didn't go well.
Yeah.
But when we finally got on the air, it was fun.
I have a little clip which features Bill talking and talking about his morning program. He was a morning guy, right? You were the evening guy.
Yes.
Let's listen to this broadcast from the first time that FM 91 was on air.
Joining us now is the voice of Da Capo during the week, Monday through Saturday. Bill Engelke is the announcer and producer in charge, and I literally, Bill, I'm going to turn the mic right over to you. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, Tom, and welcome to Public Radio in Toledo. At 6 o'clock, we have what is loosely referred to as early music, anywhere from plain song through the Renaissance, and we move easily then into the Baroque era, followed by the classical, romantic, and through the morning up to 11 o'clock, the 20th century. So it is indeed music by historical cycle.
We also move across the week.
Across the week as well. We'll be featuring, starting tomorrow morning, the complete two books, first and second books of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, a total of 48 preludes and fugues, and one prelude and fugue, for example, will be heard each morning, approximately 7 o'clock, and the complete 32 Beethoven piano sonatas are coming up, the Mozart piano concertos, one per day through the week, as long as it takes, and June 1st, we will be starting a series on the complete 104 Haydn symphonies, one per morning.
Kind of interesting listening there. Roger, you're saying that it's like pitched up a little bit for some reason. Yeah.
In the conversion from something from 40 years ago. Everybody's voice is a little too high, and I'm not saying that because I'm being a radio guy or anything, but it is a little, it's an offset by about
If it was an LP, I could have put my finger on the
slowed it down a little bit. Yeah.
But I think they had to bake the old tapes, and that may have done something in the digital transfer. But it's interesting to go back and hear from that very first broadcast of FM 91 how it was coming together and what was in people's minds at the time and what Bill Engelke was thinking about for his programming and his program. Boy, those were the days when people put a lot more thought into what they into what they were putting on the air.
I remember helping Bill. Before we went on the air, we were both hired in March and went on the air in early May, and we had blocked out Da Capo hour by hour, what should go in the Baroque hour, what should go in the Romantic hour, and so on. And we had almost flowcharts. And Bill and I worked on this together. Phil was working with a bunch of other volunteers and other producers. But Bill and I worked on Da Capo a lot those first few weeks.
Yeah.
And he had this idea. It was his idea completely of taking people through music history every day and then doing longer cycles simultaneously. So it was an XY axis of time progressing from 6 a.m. to 11 and then Monday through Friday.
Wow.
It was a fascinating concept, and it worked. You could jump in at any day and have a wonderful experience, or listen for a week and have a totally different experience, but still fulfilling.
I'm writing all of this down.
Yeah, you could use it.
Speak.
Yeah.
I'm here with Roger Grivey and Mary Natvig, and we are having a tribute to Bill Engelke, the late announcer who was on WGTE from the very beginning all the way until 2003, and Mary and Bill got together in, was it 2001, you said, thereabouts?
Mm-hmm.
But how was it different for you after you got married to the voice that you were listening to on the radio? Did it kind of take away some of the magic, or did it enhance it, or how did that work?
Oh, I don't think it took away from the magic. He always had a great voice. We would go into the grocery store or someplace, and he would be thanking the cashier, and people would turn around and look.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, Bill would go wandering in stores, especially Home Depot and Target and places like that. And I would be watching the time and think, oh, my gosh, we've got to go. I couldn't find Bill. So I would have him paged, but I really didn't want to have Bill Engelke paged because it was a name that people knew. So I would have him paged with the name of a 15th century composer that I did my dissertation on. So over the loudspeaker would come, will Antoine Bounois please report to the
And it has to be an obscure one, so only just in case somebody would be like, wait a minute, that's a 15th century, century Renaissance composer.
Yeah.
I can't possibly be right.
Not in a Home Depot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I guess Bill liked to spend time in Home Depot.
Definitely.
He was an amazing woodworker.
He was,
could build just about anything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then he set off on a whole new career after he left radio, and we'll talk about that in a bit, but I want to play a little bit more music. And I asked Tom Payne, we heard his voice talking about some of the music that Bill liked to play. We contacted him through email, and he came back, and he mentioned music by Claude Bowling. We heard some of that earlier. He says he played bowling a lot, and he had to hide the records, evidently. I guess Bill was a big fan of bowling, and I can certainly see that. And he also mentions the King Singers, and in particular a piece by John Rutter called Wind in the Willows. Are you familiar with this piece? You know this? It's kind of a long piece, but we can listen to some of it, and then we'll chime back in and talk more about our tribute to Bill Engelke here on FM 91. Just a little excerpt there of the musical setting by John Rutter of The Wind in the Willows, that famous children's book. We heard a performance from the King Singers with the City of London Sinfonia, conducted by Richard Hickox. Richard Baker was the narrator, various members of the King Singers taking on the roles of the rat and the mole and the badger and the toad and what have you. We were playing that, and Roger Grivey, who's here with me, said, anybody tuning in now, they're going to wonder what in the heck we're playing on the radio. But what we're doing is we are having a tribute this afternoon to Bill Engelke, the longtime announcer and personality here at WGTE. So many things to talk about. Bill passed away a few weeks ago, and we have rededicated the Air Studio in his memory. There's a nice plaque out there today, which we showed to Mary Natvig, his former wife and his caretaker, who's here with us today, to reminisce about Bill, and also Roger, who was his co-worker and was with him from the very beginning. Now, we mentioned earlier that Bill did the morning show, you did the evening show, and I've heard that Bill started with birds, not music, right?
We weren't on the air 24 hours a day.
Okay.
We started at 6 in the morning and ended at 1 in the next morning. So it was Bill's idea completely to, instead of having this static and random noise coming out with just a blast of music out of nowhere, his idea was to play the sounds of birds in the morning. And he turned the transmitter on and then very softly bring up bird sound out of silence for the people who had clock radios waking up.
Yeah.
He didn't want them to wake up to static, didn't want them waking up to loud music, but gentle bird song at between 5:45 and 6 a.m. was the order of the day every single day. We did it on weekends, too, when Bill wasn't there.
So did people catch on to this and start setting their alarm clocks?
It was well known. It was in the paper. It was a trademark of the station. I, of course, copied it for the evening. We signed off with the crickets and faded out with them at night. Even the middle of winter, to hear crickets and birdsong, it was very
pleasant. Didn't sign on with crickets. No, we signed off.
So. But it was totally illegal. Because you had to have a station ID when you were doing modulated programming. We didn't for a total of half hour every day.
Yeah.
50 minutes in the morning, 50 minutes at night.
I don't think they're going to get in trouble now.
Nah,
it's been a while.
It's a statute of limitations.
Yeah, exactly. I want to play another piece of music, but before we get to that, I want to play a little Beethoven, because that's one of the things that Tom mentioned. He always remembered hearing Bill saying, you know, music by Beethoven. I think Beethoven was one of his favorite composers. Yes, you're nodding your head, so you would agree with that. I'm struck with the stories that I hear of how popular Bill Engelke was and how many people listened to him and how many people came out to see him when you guys were on the road, right? I mean, can you speak to that a little bit? Because we don't see that so much anymore.
We had a live studio built at the Crosby Gardens Festival of the Arts, now Toledo Botanical Gardens. And Alan Caldwell, our engineer, would build a complete functioning studio, turntables, tape decks, mixers, everything. And we would broadcast music live exactly as we would be doing during the day. We hit the opera even on Saturday afternoon, and could interview artists live. And whenever Bill was on, there was these huge crowds of people who just wanted to see what the guy looked like, yeah, and to talk to him. And it was nice. It was a chance to really see the people we're talking to every day from a room with no windows. So it was pleasant to get outside, and for the people there, Bill was much more popular than Phil or me, no question about it. And people really wanted to see him.
Why do you think that is? Let me ask Mary. Why do you think Bill was as popular as he was?
Oh, gosh, I was just going to say, I enjoyed listening to you too, Roger.
Well,
I mean,
thanks.
I don't know. I think he had just a beautiful voice, and he knew a lot about music. He also knew people's musical taste, I think. Wide
range
of
his audience.
Musical tastes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a very important part of presenting music on the air. And speaking of presenting music on the air, I want to play a little Beethoven, as I mentioned, the famous Allegretto from the Symphony No. 7 of Beethoven, and I thought it would be nice to actually have Bill introduce it for us. This is from a broadcast from 1999, originally with the Toledo Symphony, but we've adapted it just a little bit for our purposes today. So here's Bill Engelke talking about Beethoven and his Symphony No. 7.
Beethoven seems to have been in an unusually good mood during the writing of this symphony, which occurred through 1811 and 1812. In the summer of 1811, he was spending time at a spa not far from Prague, in good intellectual and musical company, and with excellent prospects for the success of an affair he was pursuing with Bettina von Arnim. And reports were reaching him of positive responses and criticism for his Fifth Symphony. All in all, he was a happy man, and this may account for the appearance of his rough and boisterous good humor in his new symphony. Its premiere took place in the large concert hall at the University of Vienna in December of 1813 on a program to benefit war wounded. This concert also included Beethoven's so-called Battle Symphony, the Battle of Vittoria, or Wellington's Victory, as we know it today, and a couple of marches. The Symphony No. 7 in A Major by Beethoven.
That's that famous second movement, the Allegretto from the Symphony No. 7 in A Major by Ludwig van Beethoven. We hear the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, directed by Claudio Abbado, here on FM 91. I'm Brad Cresswell. We are holding a tribute to Bill Engelke, the longtime FM 91 announcer and radio personality who passed away a few weeks ago. I'm joined in the studio by one of Bill's colleagues, Roger Grivey, and also his former wife and his caretaker, Mary Natvig. And Mary, we were talking a little bit about some of the fun memories that you have of your life with Bill, and I'm wondering if you could share maybe a memory or two with our listeners.
Well, what first comes to mind are our trips to Italy with my colleagues and friends, Marilyn Shrewd and John Sampin. They and I taught a class to BGSU music students in Florence, Italy for 3 summers. And Bill went along with us as our concert manager, and he, of course, recorded all of the concerts. And he was generally our support person. And, of course, we loved seeing all the sights and going out for dinners. But Bill became really infatuated with the beautiful bookbinding and the beautiful paper in Florence, Italy. And the last summer we were there, he actually apprenticed with a bookbinder in Florence, and he made gorgeous diaries and presentation books, and had a business on repairing books, and it was really, I think, his second passion besides radio and classical music.
It sounds like it's something that takes a great deal of patience and a great deal of time to do, and so that must have been one of his hallmark personality traits, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He took care in really everything he did.
Yeah. Roger, if you had to sort of introduce Bill to somebody that didn't know him, how would you do it? What would you say about him?
Wow.
Not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, that's a difficult one because he was so erudite and passionate about classical music, but expressed that in such an approachable manner. It was an automatic contradiction.
Yeah,
he had a vast quantity of knowledge of music and the arts and literature and theater and everything, but he doled it out in very, very small doses so that people could appreciate it and just approach him like a normal guy.
Interesting. Yeah. Mary, how do you think he would want to be remembered?
I think he would want to be remembered as a good father.
Yeah?
Yeah. He raised his two daughters alone, and they're wonderful women, and he was very proud of them.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a great legacy to leave behind is, you know, family and the people that cared for you, such as you two. I know listening to his voice a little earlier got everybody a little bit choked up to listen to that, but we have the memories and we have the great music that he shared with people, and people had their lives influenced for the better just by what he was doing every single day. And that sets an example for all of us to follow. So I want to thank the two of you for coming in and talking about him. I know that, you know, he just passed not too long ago. It's still a little fresh for everybody, but we felt this is something that we really wanted to do in order to pay tribute to Bill. He certainly left his mark here, and it's nice that we were able to do just a little tiny something in return to try to, share his memory with all of the listeners here. You mentioned his daughters, and I know that they had a couple of favorite songs that you brought in. Yeah. One of them was the Colonel Bogey March.
Right. He always played that on Aaron's birthday.
Okay. So this is music that he played on his daughter's birthday.
Right.
Okay. And the other one was the Farandole.
Yeah. From Bizet La Larzian Suite.
And that was his, what is the other daughter's name?
Rachel. That's Rachel.
That was Rachel's birthday.
Yeah.
Did he announce it was her birthday, or did he just play it was like a secret code kind of thing?
No, I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he must have been proud of his daughters.
Yeah.
We have just a little bit of time left, so I'm going to go ahead and send us out with the Farandole music of Georges Bizet. Again, thank you to Mary Natvig and to Roger Grivey for joining us today here on FM 91.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much. And Bill would have loved this.